Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 15 as we dive into God's Word. Now, if you didn't receive a Multiply book, we have these at our Multiply Hub out in the atrium. Sounds like a coffee shop, the Multiply Hub out in the atrium. We have Multiply books available to you. I want you to pick one of those up. You can go to multiplycfbc.org now on your smartphone, and we have the PDF there. You can follow along in a digital format. Just go to page 78 there on your smartphone. So that's where we need to be, page 78, as we dive into Genesis chapter 15. In 2008, Champion Forest launched what was called Impact. It was a three-year campaign to build three buildings simultaneously. We built a children's building, a student building, adult ed space, and atrium all at the same time, and it was called Impact. Now, if you remember 2008, when we launched that $41 million campaign, what hit just a few months after we hit go was called the Great Recession. It was the worst economy since the Great Depression. And churches all over America that were in building campaigns like us hit the pause button. They stopped. They shut down. They said, we're not proceeding. But the Lord led us to push through and to keep going. We felt so convicted of God that He was calling us to move forward with that campaign that we continued joining God in His activity. And God blessed in an incredible way. Listen carefully. With half the number of people, half the budget, we were able to be debt-free shortly after a three-year campaign, $41 million campaign, and just shortly thereafter, debt-free, which, by the way, enabled us, whenever we purchased our 45 acres of land for $5.6 million, we paid cash for that land. The faithfulness of God and the faithfulness of Champion Forest Baptist Church. So fast forward 2008, 10 years to 2018. Now we're embracing a two-year One Fund initiative called Multiply, a generosity initiative. And the beauty is we now have twice as many people, our budget nearly $20 million, God's favor upon our lives, we're moving with God. And I want to tell you, this is prime time to get in on what God is doing. If you're a guest with us this morning and you're like, what's the Multiply t-shirts all about? I see brown Multiply shirts. You've got these weird blue M's on your shirt, blue shirts with an M on it. What's this Multiply thing about? It's about the journey that God's calling us into. It's a discipleship journey. It's a journey of joining God in His activity. And if you're a guest with us this morning, this is a perfect time to get in on it. We want you to be a part of what God is doing. It's called Multiply. Now, it's not about the $75 million. It's about our hearts. It's about what God wants to do in us so that He can multiply through us. Here's a statement I want you to write down in your notes on page 78. Here we go. God can multiply through us as we live and give by faith. God can multiply through us as we live and give by faith. However, we have to be willing to combat our fear of the future. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come, Jesus says, to give you life and give you life abundantly. What's so fascinating, when you read the Word of God, there are 365 fear nots in the Bible. One fear not for each day of the year. When you're on mission with God, the enemy tries to put seeds of doubt in your mind, and he tries to get you off mission by generating fear of the future. And what I want to preach on this morning is very unique. It's a two-point message. Overcoming fear of your future. Overcoming fear of your future. Here's the first principle I want you to write down. Replace fear with faith in God as protector and provider. God is our protector. God is our provider, and we've got to replace fear with faith in God as protector and provider. We now turn to Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. When you're there, would you say amen? Look at verse 1. After these things. Now, when you read a phrase like that, it means pause. After these things, that means something has already happened. And we've covered that in Genesis 12. That's where God told Abram, leave and go to a land I will show you. and I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you can be a blessing. So Abram was willing to leave and go as the Lord told him. And then in chapter 13, that's where Abram and Lot and their herdsmen separate, the great separation. They went separate ways. Sounds like a Journey song, Pastor Lewis. Separate ways. And then in Genesis chapter 14, that's where Lot and his family, they're taken away. They were invaded, taken away. So Abram and his crew go after him. He takes fighting men, valiant men, and they go rescue Lot and his family. So there's this major war and rescue in chapter 14. So when I read after these things, think of chapter 12, 13, and 14. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. I love this. Here's what the Lord said. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. To think about that. God revealed himself to Abram in a vision. And of all the things God could say in that moment, he chose two words, fear not. Why? Because Abram was gripped by fear. So God commanded Abram to fear not. And God revealed himself to Abram as protector and provider. God was willing to meet Abram at his point of need. Now, what's so powerful about that is that Abram had already received a promise from God, but it had been 11 years. Abram received that call from God at age 75. Now he's about 86 years of age. He's been in this 11 years, and he's still childless. And he's like, God, are you going to come through? And maybe some of you right now are going through a delay. You're wondering, God, are you going to come through for me? Are you going to show up? Are you really an on-time God? So God reveals to Abram, I am protector and I'm provider. I don't know if you enjoy listening to KSBJ, but God listens. It's a great station. I love to listen to KSBJ. One of my favorite songs is Casting Crowns, Just Be Held. Just Be Held. Where he says, your world has not fallen apart. It's fallen into place. Just be held. You see, God is your shield. He's your protector. God is your provider. He's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, your provider. We pick up now in verse 2. But Abram said, O Lord, what will you give me? For I continue childless. And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. You see, right here, Abram is calculating his circumstances. He is fretting over his future. Do you see where the fear is seeping in? And Abram was living by sight and failed to see the unseen. Look with me in verse 4. I love how God reaffirms and reassures. You know, you think about it, you receive a vision from God, fear not, that would have been enough. Okay, God, I'm in, I'm dialed in. But God continued the affirmation and the assurance in verse 4. And I just am reminded how God is so patient with you and with me, and he always knows what you need and where you are and how you feel. He's so dialed in to every fiber of your being. And he understands your fears and frustrations, even your doubts. God can handle that. And God just nurtures you along to bring you to where he wants you to be. Look at verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And I underline that in my Bible. Your very own son shall be your heir. See the reaffirmation? And he brought him outside and said, and this connects with me because I'm so visual. I'm a visual learner. Teachers, I was a visual learner. When you had my attention, I was visual. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars. If you're able to number them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. If you've ever gone out into the country late at night and get away from the glow of the city lights and go out in the country and look into the night sky, you'll be blown away by the billions of stars. So God takes Abram outside and says, look up to the stars. Can you number them? So shall your offspring be. God was just giving him a visible demonstration of his provision. Look at verse 6. Remember, God's word demands a response. God's word demands a response. God's revelation demands our response. Verse 6, and Abram believed the Lord. And that's quoted three more times in the New Testament. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him. God counted it to Abram as righteousness. Now, this is a pivotal moment in the Old Testament where Abram chooses to believe and to receive. It's a pivotal verse because it reminds us how those in the Old Testament got saved. They were looking to the coming of the Messiah. They were looking ahead at the coming of the Messiah, and they placed their faith in God in his redemptive activity. And it was counted to him as righteousness. You see, righteousness is always the right thing to do to believe the Lord. We call it a divine transaction of justification. It's where when you come to faith in Jesus Christ and you're living out 2 Corinthians 5:21, which would be really good to write down, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake he made him, Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him, in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. So God allows us to experience this divine transaction of justification. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, it's just if I'd never sinned. That's a grace gift. That's God depositing his gift of salvation into your life. And faith is the key that opens the door. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In this divine transaction of justification, God deposits the righteousness of Christ into our account. So in the Old Testament, they're looking ahead at the coming of the Messiah. We have the privilege to be in this current reality in 2018. We're looking back 2,000 years at the scene of the cross when Jesus became sin for us. And so we're placing our faith in the completed work of Jesus Christ. Abram placed his faith in the anticipated work of Jesus Christ. We're so blessed to have God's full revelation. Now, here's a wonderful quote that has so resonated in my spirit for many, many years. From Henry Blackaby in The Seven Realities of Experiencing God, here's one of my favorite. God's invitation for you to work with him always leads you to a crisis of belief that requires faith and action. That's God's invitation. And this morning, God is inviting us into his activity. And the reality is, as God invites us and we join him in what he's doing, it's going to bring us to a very special place of decision. And it's a place that will challenge us and stretch us. Now, here's the wrong question. And we say it all the time for some reason, but here's the wrong question. What is God's will for my life? That's the wrong question. The right question is, what is God's will? Just start there. What is God's will, and how can I join him? That's the greatest question you can ask. What is God's will, and how can I join him? So living and giving by faith will bring you to a crisis of belief. That is, it's going to bring you to the edge of who you are. And here's what's so fascinating. When you experience a crisis of belief, what you do next reveals what you believe about God. That's why it's called a crisis of belief. Whenever I meet people, and my family loves this about me, that's why it takes us so long to go to the mall. Because when I meet people, I just want to know them. And I'll ask them a question like, well, what's your story? I remember one time we were in Barnes and Nobles, and I just asked one person, so what's your story? And we were there for almost an hour. It was awesome as they unveiled their story. And I love to hear people's story because I love to know how God is at work in a person's life. I want you to hear Robert and Shatrina Wolf's story. They teach life group right over here at 10 a.m. I want you to hear what God has been doing in their lives.
Yeah, so it was a time in our life where, I mean, we were just looking for something different. And so when I woke up that morning, God just kind of put it on my heart to go to Champion Forest Baptist Church. And I have never seen ministry like this before. You know, it was always like that in my head, like this is how it should be. And then I get here and you actually see people working and volunteering and giving their time and making sacrifices, you know. It's sort of like you see the Bible come alive when you get here. Uh, And then, as we get there and we're getting into our life group class, then they say, okay, we're going to launch the North Klein campus. And I'm like,
If we were to stay here, we would be comfortable. And we needed to grow. We needed to push ourselves to that limit because he needed us to help grow his kingdom. And when he gave me that vision, I said, okay, Lord, I get it. And I told Robert, and he said, okay, let's go.
When we first went over to North Klein campus, we started off on the Blue Crew. And for those of you who don't know what the Blue Crew is, that's when you, we call it church in a box, because we go over there to the Klein Multipurpose Center and set up church every Sunday. And then from there, we ended up leading a life group class.
So over the years, we've been blessed and fortunate enough to be involved in Surf Saturday. The kids and I have had opportunities to go to the mud outs for the tax day, April flood, 2 years ago now almost. And then when Hurricane Harvey came, we were able to go out and serve in that. And it was such an emotional experience. It's just amazing to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to just go out and serve and, you know, love on people who need it. And he asked us to give our time, our talent, and our treasures. And so in order for us to be in line and be obedient, we have to do that. And so that's what we've been challenged on, and that's what we've been working on.
The main thing that I would say is just trust God. I know it's a little scary, it might seem new, but you cannot go wrong by trusting God. I mean, when I think about multiply, I just think about all the lives that are going to be saved from what we are giving today, you know? And anytime you start giving to the Lord, you can just sit back and just watch, because he's going to do something miraculous with what you're giving. I mean, he has an act. He doesn't add, he multiplies.
Let's give it up for Robert and Shatrina. So appreciate them. What a sweet, sweet couple. Now, if you look at step number two, overcoming your fear of the future, replace fear with faith in God as promise keeper. You see, God is the ultimate promise keeper. People will let you down. Systems will let you down. Technology will let you down. But God is the ultimate promise keeper. We pick up in verse 7. I love how God intersects and interchanges and affirms Abram. And God said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out. Now there's a word right here. As you think about the journey you're on and where you are and the miracle of your life, the miracle of your existence, the miracle that you're here, that you're breathing, that you are existing for this moment. When you think about all that it has taken for God to get you here, that you're still functioning, you're still available for God. Think about all that God has done. That's called the faithfulness of God to get you where he wants you. You think about all that God has brought you through. You think about all that God has protected you from for such a time as this. That's the faithfulness of God. And God reminds Abram, I brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, oh, Lord, how am I to know that I shall possess it? And I want you to notice here how fear is seeping in again. So Abram needs assurance. We're going to drop down to verse 18 for time. Look at verse 18. On that day, I love that. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring, I give this land. From the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the land of the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Termites, the Parasites, the Girgashites and the Jebusites. What God is saying to Abram, I've got you. I've got you where I want you. I'm preparing you for where you're going, and you will possess the land. Don't lose sight of my faithfulness. When you don't feel me, when you don't see me, be reminded of my faithfulness. My character, my nature doesn't change. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what's so powerful in this passage is God's about to cut a covenant. It's like when we sign a contract, we put our name on the dotted line saying we will fulfill our obligation. God is cutting a covenant. What's so fascinating is usually when you're coming into a covenant with the king, the lesser always passes through between the dead carcasses. So the animals are sawn in two, spread out. There's blood, just making a river here, a river of blood. And so the lesser would walk in the river of blood, so their robe would be covered in blood. The lesser would always take the walk to say, I will be allegiant to, I'll be devoted to this agreement, this covenant. And as blood is on my robe, so it shall be on my life if I fail to fulfill my end of the covenant. But yet God, the greater, doesn't allow Abram to walk in the river of blood. But instead, God chooses to walk through. The king walks through and obligates himself to the covenant. And that is a measure of grace. That God takes that kind of initiative, that God loves us that much, that he's willing to take the walk and establish the covenant. And when we come into the New Testament, if you ever doubt the love of God, you just go to the cross of Jesus Christ, where the greater became lesser and shed his blood so that you and I could experience what is called the new covenant in his blood. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. That means the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. That Jesus has walked through, that Jesus has gone through this path on our behalf to establish this new covenant that you and I are invited into, and we receive the blessing and the grace benefit of his sacrifice. So God is doing a work in us through salvation, but God continues to do a work in us in sanctification, molding us and shaping us as we work out what God has worked in by his grace. Because God wants to mold us and shape us and build us and remind us that he is our protector. He's our provider, and he is our ultimate promise keeper. So God is the ultimate promise keeper. And we may not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Heard a story about a photographer named Robin who many years ago came to this area, and he actually went to Champions Golf Club to take pictures of the golf tournament that was being hosted. And while he was there, just seeing all the people and the growth in this area, he was just so moved by what he saw was going on in this area that he just had one of those Abram moments where he left his comfort zone to come here, and he brought his family with him. And he started a church in his home, just he and his family of five, and they invited one other person to come to sing, to lead music. 48 years later, that little gathering of six people is 15,000 members, four locations, 24 venues, seven languages, and it's called Champion Forest Baptist Church. Because one man was willing to leave his comfort zone, trust God and God's faithfulness to go with God. And I want to just share my heart with you. This Saturday night's a big deal. Saturday night, this advanced commitment night, is like a major moment in the history of Champion Forest Baptist Church where we're inviting people to come lead out in their commitment. We normally run 8,000 to 9,000 every weekend. We're expecting 2,000 to be there Saturday night to lead out. And I want to just share this with you. When we look at the $75 million initiative that we're embracing, North Klein, the capital portion of it, North Klein alone is $20 million. We're the bulk of the capital to build a new campus. And I want us, North Klein family, to lead out Saturday night. You may say, but I'm a little uneasy, but I'm not sure exactly what we're going to commit to. What I'm inviting you to do is to come to the advanced commitment night, and we're going to continue to cast vision. We'll go over the commitment card that night, and if the Lord's leading you to commit that night, commit. And I want to invite you into that journey. It's not in a distant future. It's Saturday night where we can place our faith in what God's up to and say, Lord, we're in. And God, if we make this commitment, something has to change.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.